Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, an intuitive Reiki energy practitioner, medium, and author. My new book, The Living Spirit, Answers to Healing and Infinite Love, will be available May 2014. Today, I am delighted to have with us Cindy Griffith Bennett, author of Soul Soothers and co-author of Voyage of Purpose, so we may discuss and share a greater view of energy, spirit, and human development from our own personal experiences. Hello, Cindy.
Hello, Cheryl. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I'm delighted, and we're talking. You're far, far away, but it sounds like you're right in the room with me. Cindy, you know, as listeners of Healing From Within know, in each show, we often discuss the dual nature of our spiritual and physical lives, always through the experiences and wisdom of knowledgeable guests, all of whom seek a clearer and more discerning means to live their own purposeful and rich life experience. As you and I know, this is only possible when we embrace our limitless source of eternal and divine soul potential and see beyond any limitation or fear or perceived belief to the expansion of our personal and universal evolution. In today's show, Cindy and I will discuss the values and advantages of meditation as part of any spiritual practice, and also the way to help the body, mind, and soul be peaceful, more loving, and healthier on all levels and through all levels of our daily activities. Also, the way our energy interacts and mingles with everyone we meet. Cindy, let me share with our listeners something of your interests and work. Cindy has been teaching meditation and spiritual development for over 20 years. Her writings on meditation and stress reduction are published on Huffington Post. Cindy holds a Bachelor of Science degree in spiritual counseling and healing and is about to publish her thesis on the spiritual journey of the mystics for her master's degree in conscious development. Please, Cindy, tell us something of your early life and how your interest in spirituality, psychic development, spirit communication led to your studies later on.
Well, you know, Cheryl, I was one of those people that was called a late bloomer, I guess. I was an atheist, actually, for many, many years. And then just by happen chance, although is there such a thing, but I picked up a deck of tarot cards and decided to learn about them. And through that, I realized, oh, my goodness, I'm not making this stuff up, and it's too smart for me. You know, this is too good. So I somehow came around to the idea that there is a higher and wiser self, or a higher and wiser being, which is what I believe in, that leads us and guides us. And through that, it was, you couldn't get me enough information, you know. I just, at 30 years old, started devouring anything I could learn. And that basically was the beginning of my spiritual journey.
Well, Cindy, you make me laugh because I remember when I started, and it was later than 30 years old. I was an even later bloomer than you. And I also was raised in a very methodical family who had no idea of any of these metaphysical and mystical concepts. So we're very much the same that way. But I remember giving my son a reading, and he turned to me and he said, "Mom, I don't know where you're getting this stuff from, but you couldn't be making it up." So he was quite confused because he knew me one way growing up, and then all of a sudden I was doing a whole different song and dance. So, but in your book, I also read that your mother, and I liked reading about this very much, Mary Gray Griffith, once gave you and your sisters a pamphlet. And there was a word, there was something in it that stayed with you. And
forever. She said, well, besides wearing face cream, you know, it was a pamphlet for us girls. She said, "Just believe in something." And it allowed me to say, you know what, my mother doesn't require that I believe exactly as she does. She just wants me to believe in something. And I felt even at that time that it could be believing in myself. Now, since then, I have a very strong belief of a higher being. But at the time, as I said, I didn't. And it really opened me up to be able to explore all different types of spiritual development and spiritualities and such, well, without the fear of being in trouble with mom.
Yeah, and being accepted by your family. But
absolutely.
You know, your mom really gave you, and my parents did in their own way too, a great permission to be free of the limitations of society and our peers and even religious upbringing. I didn't have too much of that either. So I was free to gather experiences and learn in college. I studied philosophy. I studied religion. Even as a small child, I knew that there was a source within me that called to me that I loved. And it wasn't in a religious sense. It was in a sense of connection to all of life. And I was always curious about who we are, where we come from, where we're going, about death. Well, actually frightened about death, because that's how my parents thought. But they would not have understood at the time the work we're doing and talking about now. Now that they're in spirit, of course they do, and they support us wholeheartedly. But when they were alive, this was not their forte. So I'm going to go on to say, are any of your other family members or siblings gifted in or interested in these spiritual pursuits? We're all having a spiritual path. It's just a little different for each of us.
Well, I think that they are spiritual in different ways. My one sister has explored different traditions. She was with an ashram for a little while, and now she just has a basic, this is who I am, and I don't need to go to church, but she has her own beliefs. I have another sister who goes to church every week and is very involved in her church, but she's the one that had the first deck of tarot cards in the family. And I'm just blessed. My family is so supportive. And then the baby sister, she was raised very, I want to say business-wise, you know, she was a consultant and very business-wise, but she has over the years put up with me when I say, look at that tree's waving at us, you know, and then being shocked that the minute we pass by, it stops waving. And then when we came back, I look at it, just stopped waving again, started waving again, you know, so she puts up with me.
Well, you're helping to show her the beauty of every living thing and joy for our life in every moment, which is a good thing. And I think she appreciates that. On some level, of course.
Well, I think it's opening her up, and I think it's now she is much more open. For some reason, that tree waving at her did wonders.
That's great. I'll have to remember that when I talk to a few of the people around me who have no understanding of some of this beautiful connection to the life force and to the joy of seeing and feeling energy. I've actually seen energy dance through a tree.
Oh,
and
how wonderful.
From the roots to the top, and been so mesmerized, like Carlos Castaneda, who wrote about the connection and the threads of life force. Well, when I actually saw it many years into my studies, I was just so grateful to have that moment of recognition from below the earth force and from above. It was beautiful. So anyhow, we will go on to, why did you write Soul Soothers? How did you pick the name? And what would you like readers to remember about the book?
Well, I started writing Soul Soothers because I myself have trouble focusing and meditating. I've taught meditation for 20 years, but to actually sit and do it was not my forte. And so I had to find ways to get the benefits of meditation, because we all want those benefits. I had to find ways that I could do it in a way that I could really do it, and not in a way that I would feel judged because I couldn't sit there for a half an hour. And so I started doing the different meditations in the book, which are all ones that can be done as short as, well, one is a 20-second meditation, but as short as maybe 3 minutes or 2 minutes. And they can be done while you're grocery shopping or waiting at the doctor's office. And this was the way that I found that I could meditate. It also allowed me to be able to meditate throughout the day, not just, you know, start in the morning and then get cut off in traffic and lose my, you know, meditation mojo. So this way I could keep bringing those times of mindfulness into my life. Soul Soothers, actually the sister, my sister Gigi, who helped me to pick the name of the book, and she's the one I was saying goes to church every day, every Sunday, but was the first to have the tarot deck. She and I were chatting about the title and what we wanted to call it, and together we kind of came up with that name.
All right, but now let's tell the audience what meditation is and why so many people believe it's difficult and the benefits.
Oh,
there are
absolutely
so many benefits to it, even if we do it in moderation, just like eating
right
in moderation, resting in moderation,
right,
you know, seeking the right friends around us to support us. Meditation is not something some of us need. It's something all of us need.
Well, absolutely. Meditation, you can think of it as focused attention. I think that that's the best way to think about it. Meditation, what it does is it brings our attention into one place. And through that, by focusing on one thing, believe it or not, well, you already know this, but maybe your readers, your listeners don't, that through focusing on one thing, then what that happens is it opens up your awareness to all things. And so by narrowing our focus, we can then broaden our awareness. And the benefits are both mainstream accepted and spiritually accepted. Mainstream accepted, your doctor, if you have high blood pressure, may tell you to meditate. If you have pain, you can do meditations to help with pain management. But it's also wonderful for spiritual growth, developing your intuition, getting into that altered state. And the benefits just go on and on. But
yeah, because it helps the body to relax and de-stress.
Absolutely.
And healing, self-healing, we're all interested in being healthy, comes from a body that is relaxed. And meditation has also been known to decrease pulse rate, blood pressure, respiration, improve oxygen consumption, and as you said, heightened cognitive ability in all areas of our life. So spiritually, relaxation and meditation are the keys to opening up to higher guidance. It's that simple. They are the keys.
And all of the spiritual books you read, they talk about some sort of meditation or contemplation. And the thesis that I've just finished where I compared mystics from different eras and traditions and such, they all spoke of the importance of either meditation, prayer, or contemplation.
They're all, to me, I think they all merge into one. It's finding that stillness within yourself where you start to know yourself and to know the connection to all of life and everyone. And then you have peace because you know you're not in control of anything. You're here. You're a visitor on this planet journeying through an expansive life force of energy eternally. And it's just it's just beautiful to know that, and that's why people like us are trying to share this great knowingness so that others can find peace and hope for changes in their own personal lives and for the evolution of humanity.
Absolutely. And people struggle with meditation. And one of the main things, and to answer your question earlier that I kind of skipped over, one of the main problems people perceive they have, but I don't think they really do, is they feel that they need to not have thoughts. And this is unrealistic.
Yes.
The thing that you want to do is not think about your thoughts. So if you can think of your thoughts kind of like somebody else's cell phone ringing, oh, I don't have to answer that right now.
Mm-hmm.
But to recognize that every meditation, you're going to have thoughts. And if you're trying to eliminate thoughts, unless you want to be a guru of some sort or some high spiritual being, most of us are just trying to get that relaxation, that intuitive development. Then we recognize that if we have a thought during the meditation, that's fine. Just don't go chasing after it.
You could look at it this way. If a thought comes in, it gives you the opportunity to resist and say, oh, I'll think that later, but now I'm going back to my state. I'm staying in my state of connection with the universe and quiet
absolutely
yourself. So, you know, when I do a Reiki session, sometimes I have a client on the table and there's noise from outside the window or down the hallway. It's a very busy office. And I just say to them, when you're in this connection, when you're listening to the music and my voice and feeling the Reiki energy, you will be in a cocoon of peace. and you will not respond to any noise or any distraction. And I think meditation is the same way. It is. That is meditation.
Absolutely. That is meditation. And that's one of the things that we talk about, that meditation is this focusing your energy and or your attention in one place. But it's also developing mindfulness. And this is another one of the key benefits of meditation that wasn't mentioned earlier, is this idea of mindfulness. Because how many times do we walk into the living room and we can't remember why we went there? You know, but the
many times,
many times, right? Or usually the kitchen.
But I always bring my awareness back to what happened just before, and I always find it, because that's the purpose of mindfulness and awareness.
Yes.
Yes, to bring you to focus so you're not lost in the hustle and bustle of other people's energetic natures and their journey. Right.
Well, and that's another thing. Being more mindful of your energy is an important and a key component to spiritual growth and spiritual maturity.
We're going to go on to that in one second. Yes, that is true, what you just said. But let's go back for a minute to children. You say that timeouts often used for children, most people think it's just a discipline measure, but it's a core tool to help the child think about what happened. Tell us the benefits of helping children in this way.
Well, it's bringing mindfulness. In other words, we're teaching the children at an early age. You know, you'd hope it doesn't have to take a time out. You know, if we could introduce to children the ability to meditate, it would change the world, I feel, hands down. And so, but the timeout is something that we could give ourselves, but we don't have to be in trouble. Why don't we take that timeout to contemplate our actions, to contemplate the effects of our actions on others? Because normally, isn't that what a timeout's about?
Yes.
And really utilize that to change our life and change our behavior so that we are more anticipating our effect on others. And thereby not being this bull in a china shop as we walk through life.
Well, we're really helping the children to become calm,
mindful,
grounded, and
yes,
to understand their own personal feelings at the minute, at the moment, you know, that perhaps they did something that was hurtful to someone else, and so that they can understand how they interact with others and how their behavior affects another person. And this is something that should also be taught in the schools. I was an elementary school teacher, and I remember telling my principal to bring yoga into the school and change the whole New York system.
Bless you.
because I said, everyone needs this discipline. It is a way to maneuver life's challenges and to grow spiritually and to be physically healthy.
Yeah, well, and I think that we could use bedtime stories as meditation opportunities. There's I think it's called Starbright and Moonbeam. There's two different meditation books for children that are really stories, and they're guided meditations for the child to go on before they go to sleep. And, you know, reading is a wonderful opportunity, whether it's reading for children to children of a meditation or reading to children just to read. It's a wonderful opportunity as well to develop that ability to sit and to be okay with just being.
With, yes, reflecting on yourself and the joy of being yourself, not the way anyone else sees you, but just the way you are is the right way for you. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So let's get on to when and where is it best to do certain various meditations, such as the activity meditation and the golden light meditation. I think those two in the book came together. So,
well, the activity meditation is simply turning any activity you're doing into meditation. I love to do washing the dishes as a meditation. And so you have to wash the dish anyway, or maybe you're washing your body, but you start and you simply wash the dishes. And when a thought comes by, you say, no, I don't need to answer that. It's only going to take me 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever. I'll get to that later. And you go back to washing the dish, feeling the soap, feeling the temperature, seeing the water play on the dish. You put your entire focus into what you're doing. You could do it washing the dog. You could do it walking, running. You know, you're putting your total activity, your total focus into the activity you're doing. So that can be done anywhere where you're doing an activity that is not taking the need for attention, you know, outside of what mm-hmm. you're doing. But the golden light meditation, for your listeners that don't know, this is the process of bringing golden light from above, whether you see it from a star or a guide or God, you know.
It could be white light or golden light.
It could be white light or golden light. There's a reason for the golden light, but you could do this with any light. But you bring it in through and around you, just as if you're a sponge and you're a sponge under the water flowing, you know, in through and around you. And this one I really like to do in the morning. It kind of washes your energy field out, is so that you are more aware of things coming and going through your energy field. It brings a better awareness of that. I like it before I go to bed because it's a very protective energy. Golden light is God's unconditional love. And in my system anyway, everybody's system is different with these colors, aren't they?
Yes.
But for mine, it's God's unconditional love. And so doing that before you go to sleep is a very protective thing to do. It's also wonderful for children to imagine together with them, imagining the room being surrounded with golden light, you know, for protection.
Every morning in the car,
I
ground myself. I do my deep breathing as I drive. My eyes are open. I'm not going into such a deep state, although there are other deep state meditations, but I'm not going in at that time where I won't be focusing on their own. I'm focusing on my driving, but I'm also meditating and asking to be a reflection of God's loving presence throughout the day to reflect the spiritual values of above, so that when I'm in contact with other people throughout the day, my aura reflects a loving vibration, and my energy is being cleaned out as I'm driving and preparing for my day. Now, that doesn't mean I'll stay that way all day. There are influences that might disrupt me, but I will go back into a meditation at any time there is anything that makes me feel uncomfortable, and I also teach this to others too. It must be consistent, and you must use it. You can't use it once in a while. It has to become like brushing our teeth, that it is just part of our everyday living, right?
It's one of the reasons I like to do it in the shower, you know, so it becomes a habit.
Going to sleep in the shower in the morning, driving, preparing for your day, whenever you do it, before you eat, you know, so you digest your food.
Yeah.
Properly, just you're just relaxing the body, and you're letting go of any tensions or worries. Because, you know, as a Reiki practitioner, we are taught to be slow to worry, slow to anger, slow to judgment, and all that is part of a meditative lifestyle. Because that's what we're eliminating. That's what we're eliminating from our everyday choices and activities. Now, you use a quote at the beginning of the chapter. Actually, there are very lovely quotes at the beginning of each chapter from your husband, David Bennett, author of mm-hmm. Voyage of Purpose. And at the beginning of this chapter, the 22nd meditation, it reads like this. It is so important we not be overwhelmed with living in this physical world that we forget to spend time in silence, getting to know our vital life force that makes up our being that will live forever. Now, we were talking about this all through the show with the children. What we're teaching them is to know their self, their own soul sense, their own power, their own beauty and magnificence. Now, tell us something of your husband and his work and ideas.
Well, my husband had a near-death experience in 1984 where he drowned off the coast of California. And he had the traditional near-death experience where he went into the light, he met his soul family, he had a life review, and he was told it was not his time and he had to return. He didn't return gracefully. He did not want to come back.
They never do. It must be so. I know it's wonderful beyond here, but.
Yeah. So that really affected his life. It changed him around. He was a very brash young man, and all of a sudden he realized there was more to life than him and his needs. So that really changed him, and it put him on a spiritual journey. In 2000, he was diagnosed with stage 4 lung and bone cancer. And at that time, he used what he had learned in his near-death experience to really make up a combination of using traditional medicine and non-traditional medicine in order to survive. And he is 12 years in remission now. So he's starting with that spiritual journey, and now he helps other people that have gone in that situation, either through a near-death experience or dealing with cancer.
Well, my own personal belief is that often a serious illness is chosen by the soul to achieve a greater level of understanding about our life purpose so that we can continue forward and help a lot of other people. And cancer is one of those situations that is a soul choice to bring your soul to another level. But I want to also ask you, you talk a lot about the chakras. I am a Reiki practitioner. Mm-hmm. I deal with the chakras. You give wonderful information. You also give a wonderful chart. Did your husband, during that episode, was he helped with alternative healing therapies?
Yes. Yes. He did a lot of self-healing. He wasn't trained in Reiki, although he has since become trained in Reiki, but he did a lot of self-healing. Spirit, he had the ability to hear spirit, and so he was guided on energetic ways to work with his cancer, and quite a bit of that information is in the book Voyage of Purpose. But he did quite a bit of holistic. He took different mushrooms and did a number of different holistic things, but he did have a few healing sessions as well. And he also did some raindrop therapy because he was getting terrible neuropathy, and that helped some with the neuropathy.
Well, I wanted to get into entrainment and how people affect each other, because plain and simple, other people's energies affect us. Even a person or a place can be sensed before we get there. And words also, the same way, mm-hmm. have a vibration mm-hmm. and affect us greatly. So I want to say, in learning to use meditation in a silent time to understand our own needs and the needs of others, we learn to become conscious, cooperative citizens of a much larger life potential than our own immediate concerns. And I honor you and have written in writing a book where your meditations show how to go forward in silent contemplation, along with the acceptance and allowance of other people's uniqueness. The book, your book, is about that, and it's a way forward for the evolution of humanity. So I want to thank you, Cindy Griffith-Bennett, for sharing a practical and concise set of meditations and spiritual realities present in your books that may help our listeners expand their own program for higher consciousness. Please go to psychicsupport.com to purchase this book. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, Cindy and I have discussed various meditation approaches and the values of meditation as a tool for spiritual growth, which you may come to realize will bring you to your soul's wisdom and connection to universal energy. And when you have a clear and well-functioning chakra system and are leading a healthy life, paying attention to food, hydration, sleep, and your guidance through hunches, thoughts, ideas, or even a synchronistic event, you will find that it's unlikely that it would happen that way. These events are all demonstrating the guides and spiritual souls and a higher God force that are there for us to develop mindfulness, higher consciousness, and our internal sense of intuition. Cindy has shown us that meditation is the best tool towards working towards that goal. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing from Within, and invite you to join me and the leaders in the field of spirituality, medicine, and alternative energy healing techniques, education, psychology, the arts, and science. Go to CherylGlick.com to hear 4 monthly shows along with special editions. Thank you.